Well, I'll try not to fall asleep in my own sermon. I got a call at 12:45 last night that there was some flooding in the church next door. Someone left a faucet wide open in the window well outside the church. So it was flooded. So me, the pastor, his two prayer warrior ladies who were praying are out there sloshing the water, sucking it up until I got to bed about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll try to have some energy this morning. After this, I'm going home and taking a nap. We're still working on it. We still have an issue with our projector. We're going to be working on that. Isn't the stage looking good, you guys? So we get started. Right. Good. So hopefully here we're getting here so we can make this more into a sanctuary than into a gym. And I'm excited about what God's doing. And it'll be just neat to see what happens. When I teach this morning, may we prepare a heart for communion as we will be having communion together. So just be preparing your heart with God, that God would, as we remember his blood and his body, which was shed for us, that we'd prepare our hearts. I remember Eric, who was really, when he taught on that, preparing our heart before we take the body and blood of Jesus, getting our heart right with God. And may we begin to prepare our heart. Let me just pray as we get into God's word today that he would speak to us. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, help us give you all those things that are holding us from you, or distracting us, or just taking our thoughts. We put our thoughts on you. We come to your living word because we believe it's living and it can transform our lives. And I pray in Jesus' name that you speak to us today. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many people here would say that sometimes you struggle with negative thoughts in your mind? Oh, so I'm not the only one. Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm glad I'm not alone. How many here, at times you want to do what's right, but then you do what's wrong? Is there anybody else who does that? Oh, honey, my wife does? You really do? Oh, man, I'm shocked. I'm disappointed. How many here experience that internal struggle between living for God and living for the world? Okay. Has anyone here ever been to a wrestling match, like in a high school or college wrestling match? Yeah, not many people. I as a kid liked to wrestle. And I come from a family of 5 boys and a girl. And so 7 of us, My younger brother, Lee, and I would wrestle. And we would wrestle and wrestle. We'd at times put socks on because we didn't have punching gloves. We'd hit each other. We'd wrestle. And as we grew up, he was more strong than me, and I was quicker. So we balanced each other out in our wrestling mat. We'd throw each other down around the house all over, and we had a great time. I was pretty good at wrestling. And so if I wrestled someone, I could hold my own. I could do pretty good. Until one day, I thought I was pretty good, and I went to wrestle someone who knew how to wrestle. He knew the moves to wrestle. And I thought, man, I've done good with all these other guys that wrestle. I could do pretty good with this guy. And so we'd go outside to do just a little fun little guy wrestling match after youth group. And probably within less than 5 seconds, I'm pinned, arching my back, and I'm done. I didn't know what to do. I thought I knew what I was doing, but he knew the wrestling moves and was able to take me down. And I also recall the time when I was a youth pastor in Whidbey Island, Washington, and I went to a high school wrestling match. I don't know about you, but when I see wrestlers and I see those tights, it's almost like ballet. Would I ever want to be in ballet? No, the tights turn me off. Same with wrestling. They're really tight. They look kind of, I don't know, girly. That's just me. But I know in wrestling, you're not girly. But I went there and these guys are wearing those tights and they're wrestling. Huh? Oh, you're right. There are girly. You're right. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this guy who is so good that he went to state before. And he's there wrestling. And as he's wrestling, he's on top of the guy. And his coach tells him what to do. And he stops. He stops what he's doing. He's holding the guy. He's looking at his coach. And he's listening to his coach. And then he does what his coach wins and pins him. Isn't that interesting? He listened to the coach's voice to win. What about us? In these struggles of ourselves, in our struggles in our mind, we need to listen to God to overcome those areas that we struggle with. Today, we will listen to our coach God and how to win the battle that takes place in our mind. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. As we're continued through the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. And I think I'm doing pretty good for getting through Ephesians. Well, we're trying to get through Ephesians, hopefully just the next month or so. And Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. Let me just read this passage to you. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not what you've learned in Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are the members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouths, but what is only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven you. Here Paul describes our wrestling match that is taking in place inside of us. The battle between the old self and the new self. We raised our hands. We struggle with the battle that's taking place inside of us. But first, as he gets ready to talk about that battle, he first tells them not to walk as the Gentiles walk. So Paul lists the actions of a person that lives according to the old self. See, Paul first has to act like he says, hey, don't live like the Gentiles. And then he gives a list of the things that the Gentiles do. The things they do. But first, he needs to diagnose the problem before he talks about their actions. And here we see, he says, you know what? He diagnoses the problem before he describes their actions. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles. And here's why they walk as the Gentiles. And this is what they do. Listen to what Paul says in verse 17. He says, they walk in the futility of their mind. Think the mind. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. And the end of verse 18, the hardness of their heart. And then verse 19, They have become callous. This person has done the same thing over and over again because of the futility of their mind, the darkness of their understanding, and they have become calloused in their life. When I think of callous, I think of a person. How many here likes to walk around outside barefooted?
I do.
I mean, I still do that today. Now, when you get older, it hurts more. But I go outside, I'll walk around, and I'll walk on stones, and I'll do that. And then over time, I build up calluses on my feet. Now, if you look at my wife's feet, her feet are like baby butt feet. They're soft. And if she was to step on a rock, she would start bleeding probably. She has no calluses. I have calluses. And I even remember when we were newlyweds. My wife loves when I tell the story. We were newlyweds in Washington, and we were going off for a night up in the little Swiss town up in the mountains of the Cascade Mountains. And it was a little town called Leavenworth. And as we were going to go to Leavenworth, we hit snow. And in my family, the seasonal tradition, the first snow, you go out and you run barefooted in the snow. Now, my family, you'd go out there and you'd see who could stay the longest in the snow. And there was even a time my mom would make my sister and brother come in because they wouldn't come in because they wanted to win. And she didn't want them to get hurt because they were out in the snow in their bare feet. Well, my wife and I uphold my Pratt tradition. And we go up there and we're at a rest stop. We pull over and there's all the snow. I go, honey, and I take off my shoes. It's no big deal. I'll go out in the snow. Well, my wife is willing to do that because we're newlyweds, right? We don't do any wrong. And so she goes up, she puts her feet in the snow. Next second, she's throwing her hand around me, and she's pulling her feet out of the snow. I'm sitting there laughing. I think it's hilarious. She's not happy. It hurts. I'm laughing because this couple pulls up, and they're laughing with me. And of course, she doesn't like that. I'm laughing too because I'm laughing at her. You know that how that is, ladies. She has soft feet. She doesn't have calluses. And in a similar way, the people who live according to the old self have built up calluses on their heart and mind. They do things that should be bring pain in their lives, but they've done it so much they don't recognize it. They become callous. They become darkened in the futility of their mind. And here Paul is saying, do not be like the Gentiles. So he diagnoses the problem. The problem with the Gentiles is darkness of understanding, the futility of the mind, and they become calloused, and they just do whatever they want. And then after Paul diagnoses the problem of the Gentiles, he does this next. He tells the person, he tells you what the person does who lives according to the old self. We need to know. There's the old self and new self. How do we know what is the old self and the new self? And he gives a list in this passage about the deeds and the works of the person who does the old self. Listen to this list. Ask yourself this question. Are you walking as the old self or the new self? This is it. Listen to this. Sensuality. Sexual things that are outside of God's word. Outside of marriage. Greed. Oh, I want that. I hold on to it. I won't share. It's mine. Practicing every kind of impurity. Things that are contrary to the word of God. Falsehood, lying, deceiving, anger, letting the sun go down on your anger. Do not steal, taking from someone something that is not yours. Corrupt communication, swearing, bitterness, wrath, slander. Malice, slander, tearing people down. This person does all these things because of the futility of their mind, their darkened understanding, the hardness of their heart, and they build up calluses. And they do it when they shouldn't. They're living with the old self. Now, I think all of us could look at some of those things and go, oh, I'm living that. Oh, I need to repent. I need to get my life right with God. But then Paul doesn't stop there. He says, don't do this, but do this. And then Paul describes putting on the new self. This is for the believer in Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins then to describe the actions of a person who is living according to the new self. And here's the list. They speak the truth in honesty. They're honest. They're truthful in what they say. When they say they're going to do something, they do it. They show anger, but they do not sin. There are things that we can be angry with, but we don't continue. We can be angry about an area of sin in someone's life. We can be angry and not sin. There's also, they labor. They're not lazy. They don't sit around and live off someone. They provide for themselves. They build up people instead of tearing them down with corrupt communication. They're kind, loving, and forgiving. The new self. So as you can see, there's a big difference between the old self and new self. The actions of the old self and the actions of the new self. But there's now a question that we must answer this morning. How do we put on the new self and not give in to the old self? I want to know that. Yet Paul gives us the answer to that in this passage. It's there. It's right there in the passage for us. And we see that in verse 23 and 24 of Ephesians 4. Listen to this. He says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." The key is the mind. The mind. We will win or lose our battle within the mind. And if this is so, how do we as Christians win the battle over the self, old self and the new self in the mind? And I would say this. What we put into our mind matters. Okay, you guys heard, finish this phrase for me. Garbage in, garbage out. Okay, we all know that. If we fill our mind with garbage, our life will reflect it. If we fill our mind with good things, our life will reflect it. We will live out the new self, not the old self. Have you heard that story of the two dogs? Listen to the story by George Bernard Shaw. Let me just read this very short description. Quote, "A Native American elder once described his own inner struggles in this manner. Inside of me, there are two dogs. One of the dogs is mean and evil. The other is good. The mean dog fights the good dog all the time. When asked which dog wins, he reflected for a moment and replied, 'The one I feed the most.'" What we feed into our mind will determine the outcome of our battle between the old self and this new self. If we feed our mind on God's word, not only on Sundays, not putting 10 cents to last the week, but we daily get into God's word, we strengthen our new self to live for God, and we will be living more out our new self. This is one reason we started that 3-month challenge of spending regular time with God, because you are renewing your mind. You are recharging. You are filling yourself so you can live the new self and not the old self. When we spend time talking to Him, spend time in His Word, our minds are renewed. Our new self is being empowered to overcome the old self because we're feeding it. We're feeding our mind. We're renewing our mind. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul here is saying, you know what? Surrender your life entirely and to God. Make Him the Lord of your life. Sacrifice as a form of worship your life to God. Hey, how many of us want that? I want God. You have all my life. That's me. But then Paul says this in verse 2. He tells us how to do it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we need to renew our mind. So far, to do this, we spend time in God's Word, not only on Sunday mornings, the rest of the week, or you're not renewing your mind and you will live out the old self. You're spending time talking to God. And another way to renew your mind is to spend time around God's people. As a pastor, I always become concerned when someone comes and they don't come regularly and they aren't regularly around God's people. It puts a signal in my spirit, something's wrong. And that one signal is always telling me they don't understand. They need to be around God's people. They may be tired, they may be overwhelmed, they may be busy, but God's Word tells us to be around God's people. So I see someone that's not around them, I think, wow, first they're not very strong in their walk with God, because we all need to be around God's people. We need to make it a priority. We need to put it before sports, before other things in our lives. We need to be around God's people, because God's Word says, hey, that's one way you renew your spirit, your mind. But we don't do that anymore. Church is an extra if I have time. It's not a priority. I will make it happen unless I'm dead sick. I will be there because I want to be renewed. Because when we hang out with God's people, we rub off on each other. Our minds are being renewed. It's like having rechargeable batteries. You get kind of, ooh, it's getting dead. You put it in. You start charging it, it recharges. That's what happens when you spend time in God's Word, prayer, and you're around God's people. There's another way to renew your mind. Endeavor to build godly friendships and relationships. The friends we hang out with us will impact us. If we hang out with friends that love God and live in godly way, it can feed and renew our mind. But if we surround ourselves with people that live for the old self, this will impact our lives. They help feed your old self, and you'll feed the wrong dog, and you will not win the battle. Listen to these scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good habits, good morals. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? The friends we pick, the people we hang out with, will either feed our new self or old self. I'm not saying you can't have any non-Christian friends, but I would say you need to hang out with more Christian friends than non-Christian friends. Because you know what? You will, the friends you keep, what can tear you down? They will pull you down. And unless you surround yourself with a strong, believing family, you will fall back into what you've always fallen back into. So, to renew our mind, we spend time in God's Word. We pray. We're around God's people. We're building godly friends. But there's another thing that we need to do as Christians. We need to renew our mind, but we also need to protect it. We need to protect what we allow into our mind. You know, growing up, my parents were very protective. They knew the Lord. They came out of Mormonism into Christianity after they encountered Christ. They didn't let me watch every movie I wanted. As a youth, I probably did not appreciate that. I really appreciate it now. They didn't let me listen to any music I wanted. I know parents today, oh, let their kids choose. I can't do that. Man, thank goodness I didn't choose. I didn't know what to choose because I wanted to live for my old self. I was young. My hormones were going. And they protected. And I look back now and go, wow, I may not like that, but man, that was really protective and loving of my parents because, wow, they helped me feed my spirit, not allow me to feed my flesh. My parents wanted to protect me. They knew it affects my mind. As a guy, this really protected me. When I hit puberty, if I watched movies with scenes that were not appropriate, it turned me on. But they didn't let me watch very many movies like that, so I didn't have to be turned on very much because they protected me. And now I didn't fill my mind with garbage to feed garbage. Now, did I still wrestle with it? Yes. But I fed my spirit, so it gave me the strength to overcome that. But man, if my parents, man, the things that our youth watch, the pornography they watch, they will go out and have sex with people. Unless you as parents teach our kids to walk with God, protect them and set things around and teach them to discern what is good and evil. My parents did that and it protected me. I struggled, I wrestled like everybody else, but I did not have things in my mind, they protected what went in my mind so the enemy didn't have as much material to burn in my life. What type of movies do you watch? There's times my wife goes to bed, I want to watch a movie. I don't know how many movies I've came across. This is a great movie. Woo, woo. And man, it's shocking. Mainly if it's HBO. It's shocking. I turn it off. If I don't, then I throw things into my mind and I will struggle with my old self. So I have to shut it right off. No, I won't watch that because that's not what God wants me to watch. What music do you fill into your brain? Oh, I don't like Christian music, so I'm going to listen to trash. No. We fill ourselves with things that feed our spirit. Do you feed your old self or your new self? I remember one time we went to the TV growing up. And there was this big piece of paper in front of the TV screen my mom wrote. And she put a verse on there. The famous verse that no one really likes to read because it tells us where we're at. The Philippians 4:8, and said this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I'm always just telling us, hey, you turn this thing on. Is it good? Is it lovely? She was reminding us. Listen to these verses, Psalm 101:3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Ooh, that's kind of convicting. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Guys, today, are you feeding your good dog or your evil dog? Are you feeding the old self, the new self? And if we have the worship team come and just play a little background music as we get ready to have our communion. You guys, we as God's people need to come to God and lay those things in our lives that are feeding our old self before the throne of God. I want to ask you guys today, we're going to have some of our leadership team and some people in the church come out and hand out the elements. While they're handing out communion, we will take it together in just a moment. I want you to spend time between you and God. And if God has convicted you of something in your life this morning, or if you know of something in your life, I want you to get that right with God before we take communion. Because we need to search our hearts. So if you guys come out and start handing out the communion, and if we can begin to search our hearts for anything in our life that we're feeding the old self that we need to bring to God, confess it as sin, and ask God to help us not do it in our lives.